Ash set forth a vision to dominate the likes of IBM, Xerox, and Kodak in the emerging field of office automation. A bold plan for a company that had previously only dominated the envelope address duplication business. There's nothing wrong with a bold vision, but Ash became so wedded to his quixotic quest that, according to Business Week, he refused to confront the mounting evidence that his plan was doomed to fail and might take down the rest of the company with it. He insisted on milking cash from profitable arenas, eroding the core business while throwing money after a gambit that had little chance of success. Later, after Ash was thrown out of office and the company had filed for bankruptcy, from which it did later emerge, he still refused to confront reality, saying, "We lost some battles, but we were winning the war." But Addressograph was not even close to winning the war, and people throughout the company knew it at the time. Yet the truth went unheard until it was too late. In fact, many of Addressograph's key people bailed out of the company, dispirited by their inability to get top management to deal with the facts. Perhaps we should give Mr. Ash some credit for being a visionary who tried to push his company to greater heights. And to be fair, the Addressograph board fired Ash before he had a chance to fully carry out his plans. But the evidence from a slew of respectable articles written at the time suggests that Ash turned a blind eye to any reality inconsistent with his own vision of the world. There is nothing wrong with pursuing a vision for greatness. After all, the good-to-great companies also set out to create greatness. But unlike the comparison companies, the good-to-great companies continually refined the path to greatness with the brutal facts of reality. When you turn over rocks and look at all the squiggly things underneath, you can either put the rock down, or you can say, "My job is to turn over rocks and look at the squiggly things," even if what you see can scare the hell out of you. That quote from Pitney Bowes executive Fred Perdue could have come from any of the Pitney Bowes executives we interviewed. They all seemed a bit, well, to be blunt, neurotic and compulsive about Pitney's position in the world. "This is a culture that is very hostile to complacency," said one executive. "We have an itch that what we just accomplished, no matter how great, is never going to be good enough to sustain us," said another. Pitney's first management meeting of the new year typically consisted of about 15 minutes discussing the previous year, almost always superb results, and 2 hours talking about the scary, squiggly things that might impede future results. Pitney Bowes' sales meetings were quite different from the "aren't we great" rah-rah sales conferences typical at most companies. The entire management team would lay itself open to searing questions and challenges from salespeople who dealt directly with customers. The company created a long-standing tradition of forums where people could stand up and tell senior executives what the company was doing wrong, shoving rocks with squiggly things in their faces and saying, "Look, you'd better pay attention to this.